Well, let's jump in. We're in week four of the Blessed Life. Today, we're going to be talking about the principle of first. And what I want to do as we get into the series today, it could be the most challenging challenging message of the series. And I believe it's without a doubt the most important message of this series. And what I want you to do is just come into this with an open heart today. It'll be tough for some people. And all I ask you to do is we're not going to tell you or ask you to do anything today. All I do, as Jim said, my job is to present scripture. Your job is to go home and wrestle with the Holy Spirit on it. That's just the way we feel like we're called to run this church. That's why we don't pass plates or pass buckets and try to get you to do stuff and ask you for things. Our job is to present to you what we believe the Bible says, the Christian life. Your job is to wrestle over that and live with it. And today we're talking about the principle of first. So I would just ask you to just say to the Holy Spirit right now in your heart, just say, Holy Spirit, give me the ears to hear what you want me to hear today. And give me the eyes to see what you want me to see. Not what Aaron wants me to hear or see, but what you want me to hear and see. Let's just all do that. Just take a moment, say, Holy Spirit, give me the ears for what you want me to hear and the eyes for what you want me to see. The principle of first. And this is the reason this message is so important today. If God is first in your life, then everything else will come into order. If God is not first in your life, then nothing will come into order. Your family, your marriage, your career, your finances, your business. God has to be first. And I know many people here today would say to me, God is first in my life. But my question would be, let me see your checkbook. And I'm not being funny. Jesus was very clear. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. What do you put first in your life? And I know we all want God to be first, but this is such a simple, clear principle in Scripture. It's black and white. I mean, to put God first in your marriage, that takes a little effort to figure out. To put God first in your family takes a little effort to figure out. When it comes to this area of life, it's clear. It doesn't take any effort at all to figure this out. It takes a lot of effort to be willing to do it. We want God to be first, the principle of first. So let's look at this all throughout the Bible today. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to read a story about Elijah the prophet to give you a little background. They're in an incredible economic recession in the land of Israel right now. There's an extreme famine going on. There's a drought. Literally, there is a 3.5 year period where there is not a drop of water, no rain at all. No rain. And many theologians believe this was about 6 to 12 months into that famine, into the drought, no rain at all. And Elijah is sent to this widow. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? Remember, there's a drought. There's not a drop of rain for 3.5 years. And he's asking this widow in poverty to bring him a cup of water. As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make me a little bread. Say this word with me, first. First. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow. Again, this is an amazing story. Here is this widow. Her husband is dead. She has a son. They're living in poverty. They literally have enough food for one loaf of bread. One last meal. They plan on eating this last meal and dying. And the prophet, the man of God, Elijah, is sent to her by God. And he says, feed me first. I mean, can you imagine me as a pastor doing that to a single mom living in poverty? Feed me first. And here the prophet, this is just an amazing story. And I wonder if when the widow turned to leave, she said to herself, you know, Elijah's crazy. I mean, he's crazy. I've heard stories about this guy, but he's crazy. And the reason why I wonder that is because I wonder how many people think to themselves when they hear me say things like, when you're in the middle of a recession, when you're going through a difficult financial time, you should be giving to the first 10% of your income to the church. I wonder how many people are saying to themselves, you know, Aaron's crazy. He's crazy. I mean, I can understand giving a little bit here or there, but not right now. I need to hold on to everything I have. I need to protect what I got. He's crazy. Let me say to you, during a recession, during a difficult time, that's the best time to tithe. Because how else are you going to make it without God's blessing on your life? How else are you going to get through? How can you expect God to do a miracle in your finances if you won't do it His way? And the reason why many people aren't seeing miracles in their life is because they're not putting God in the opportunity to give them a miracle. You know, and what I want you to notice about this story, couldn't God have sent Elijah to a rich man? Why did God send him to a widow in poverty? Wasn't there a wealthy person that could have fed the prophet? Notice, this is what you need to catch about this story. God did not send Elijah to the widow so that the widow could provide for Elijah. God sent Elijah to the widow so that God could provide for the widow. That's what people miss about the story. God didn't need this widow to feed Elijah. Elijah says to her, give to God first. Put God first. Feed me first, and God will provide for you. And it took faith. It took faith for this widow to put God first, to put God first in her natural provision so that God could give her supernatural provision. And please understand, God did not need this widow to feed him. Look at how God was feeding Elijah before and after this story. Go to a few verses before. 1 Kings 17 verse 6. This is how God took care of Elijah before. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. He was eating better from ravens than this widow was feeding him. Look at right after this story, 1 Kings 19, verses 5 and 6. Then he lay down and he slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and he lay down again. God didn't need this widow to provide for him. God was doing fine on his own. I mean, God had ravens and angels feeding him. It wasn't about this widow feeding him. God was trying to test this widow. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago, tithing is a test. God was testing her. If you'll put me first, I want to provide for you. I want to take care of you. I want to bless you, but you're going to have to take a step of faith and put me first. And that's that. As a pastor, I am so passionate that people understand this principle, because God wants to supernaturally provide for some of you. God wants to do things in people's life, but it's going to take us learning the principle of first and putting God first. And it's not just provision. Look what happens next in the story. Her son dies. And in verse 21, the Bible tells us, and Elijah stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, please let this life's child return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he was revived. Let me ask you a question. Did God know that her son was sick? You better believe he did. God knew they only had one meal left. And God knew even if they got more food, her son was still going to die. So God sends the prophet to her to give her a test, to give her an opportunity. If you will put me first, not only will I provide for you, but I will also protect. Two things the Bible promises about the tithe. provision and protection. Malachi says, bring the tithe and see if I'll not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing, provision, and see if I'll not rebuke the devourer. I will protect your crops. I will protect your harvest. Protection. Tithing promises provision and protection when we put God first. And this is so clear. It's all through Scripture. God says, if you will bring me the first 10%, the tithe, the first fruit, the firstborn, see if I will not provide. I mean, think about it like this. If God came to you today and said, listen, if you'll give me the church, my house, the first 10% of your income, I will make your income, the remaining income, go further than it has the ability to do. And I will stand at the door of your house and keep Satan out. He did say that. That is exactly what he said in Malachi 3. We read it 2 weeks ago. Yet some people still struggle with that. Why? Because some people still don't do it. And I want to ask the question, why? And I'm not being ugly, and I don't want this to be judgmental or critical, but I want to get to the bottom of this. Why do we still struggle with this? Because it's human nature to be afraid. What did Elijah tell the widow? Do not be afraid. Trust me. If you'll put God first, don't be afraid. Remember, it would not have taken the widow any faith at all to say, well, let me make a meal for me and my son. And after we eat, if we have anything left over, we'll take care of you. It wouldn't have taken any faith to do that. It took faith for the widow to put God first in her life, in her provision, in her finances, in her natural resources. It took faith to put God first. And we struggle because we're afraid. It's human nature to hold on, to protect, to want to keep what we have. It doesn't take faith to give God the last 10%. It takes faith to give God the first. God doesn't say, have 10 sheep and give me the last one. He says, give me the first sheep before you have the other nine. Again, this is an act of faith. The principle of putting God first. So let's go back to the first recorded offering in the Bible and see if we can figure out where this wrestle came from. Because we all wrestle with this. Many people, you know, today wrestle with this, and they're trying to figure out, why is this so difficult for me to do? Why do I wrestle with this concept that is so clear in Scripture? Let's go back to the very first offering in the Bible and see if we can, gain some insight to this subject. And again, this isn't the first offering. This is the first recorded offering in the Bible. This isn't the first time people gave an offering to God. Many theologians, and I believe that there had been many offerings to God. These boys were grown men. This is Cain and Abel. They were grown men. They grew up watching their parents to give to God. They grew up giving to God. This isn't the first time they gave to God. It's just the first time the Bible talks about it. And for those of you that love Bible trivia, I'm going to show you why many theologians believe Cain and Abel were actually twins. I'm not saying whether they were or they weren't. I'm just going to show you why many people believe that. Genesis 4, verse 1. Now, Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and she bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Notice it doesn't say she conceived again. It just says she bore again. That's why many people believe that Cain and Abel were actually twins, because she conceived once and she bore twice. Now, I don't know if they were or they weren't. When we get to heaven, we can ask Abel and find out. Either way, just some fun trivia for you. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, meaning when he got around to it, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance falling? If you do well, in other words, if you'll do it the way I want you to do it, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. I'm just going to say it. If you want to do things your way, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. The other day on the History Channel, they were doing a documentary on Cain and Abel, and the commentator made this statement: nobody in Christianity knows why God accepted Abel's offering but did not accept Cain's offering. I thought, well, I do. I mean, it's clear. It's right there in Scripture. The Bible tells us Abel brought his firstborn to God. Abel brought the first to God. What did Cain do? It says in the process of time, meaning when he got around to it, he brought an offering of the fruit. It does not say that Cain brought the first fruits to God. It just says Cain brought an offering to God. Cain brought what he wanted. He didn't bring the first fruits. He just brought an offering. And here's the question that I have about this story. Why didn't Cain bring his first fruits? Because again, I don't believe this was the first offering. I just believe it's the first recorded offering. He knew how to do it right. So why didn't he bring his first fruits to God? I believe it's because there was something in his heart. And this brings me to the first point today, the heart of Cain. The heart of Cain. Now, how do we know the heart of Cain? Because the Bible has other scripture about Cain. So looking at the Bible, we see other scriptures where we can look into the heart of Cain. The book of Jude, verse 11. What sorrow awaits them, for they follow in the footsteps of Cain. Meaning they basically follow the way of Cain, the heart of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceived people for money. That's greed. That's greed. And like Korah, they perished in their rebellion. So the way of Cain, the footsteps of Cain, the heart of Cain was greed and rebellion. Can I tell you why we don't tithe? And please, I know some of you are struggling with this, and I know, and I don't want this to come across judgmental or critical, but we need to get to the bottom of this. We need to figure out why this is such a difficult issue in the church. What is causing you to miss out on some of God's blessing in your life? Very simple, greed and rebellion. Greed, we want more. We want more. This is mine. Greed shows up in a lack mentality. I got to hold on to what I got. It shows up in an envy mentality. I want more. I want more. And rebellion. I'm going to do it my way. Understand, this isn't the first offering. Cain basically said to God, God, I will give you what I want, and I will give you when I want. And God says, I don't accept that. I don't accept your offering, Cain. And you would not believe how many people say that to me as a pastor. People who say to me, well, you know, I give whatever I feel led to give. Well, the problem with that is the Bible tells us how to give. That's like me saying, well, I'll love my wife however I feel led to love my wife. No, the Bible tells me how to love my wife. I'll honor my husband the way I want to honor my husband. No, the Bible tells me how to honor my husband. I'll give whatever I want, whenever I want. That's rebellion. I give whatever I feel led. That's the heart of Cain. That's why God did not accept Cain's offering. He did it his way. And I think Cain knew what he needed to do. But let's just say he didn't. Let's just say Cain made an honest mistake. He'd never been taught. He really didn't know how to do it right. Let's just say Cain made an honest mistake. Like many people in the church. This is the first time many people are ever hearing a message like this. Let's just say everything up to this point was an honest mistake. The beauty of God is he has an erase button. It's called grace. You don't need to worry about anything you did yesterday. All you're responsible for is the revelation you get today. So if God's doing something in your heart today, forget about yesterday. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation for yesterday. Just let's make that clear. So let's say that Cain did not know how to do this right. God came to him and God said, Cain, if you'll do it the right way, I'll accept it. And what did Cain do? Instead of repenting, instead of getting right, Cain became bitter. He became angry and he began to blame other people. What did Cain say? He said, the reason you're rejecting me is because you're accepting my brother. It's because of my brother that you're not accepting me. And see, there's many people that live like that today. What's wrong with my life is what they did. No, what's wrong with your life is what you did. Let's be clear, because even if what they did was wrong, how did you respond to it? Because the Bible teaches us that even if what they did is wrong, if I respond right, God blesses me. That's what the Bible teaches. And so Cain's blaming other people. Cain's heart attitude was, I want to blame somebody else for what's wrong with my life. And I see that so often in the church. Well, the reason this is happening and the reason that's happening is because of this or because of that. And sometimes it's our own foolishness. Sometimes we're choosing to do it our way instead of doing it God's way. And this is a principle that is so clear throughout Scripture. Let me give you a verse about this. Proverbs 19, verse 3. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. You know how many people I meet who are angry at God because of the situation they're in? Why didn't God bail me out of this? Why didn't God? Because they're doing it their way. This is a tough scripture. People ruin their life by their own foolishness and then get angry at the Lord. And all throughout Scripture, it's clear. We are to honor God with the first. We are to bring God the first. The first, not out of a legalistic law, not because we're afraid of God and he's going to punish us and he's going to curse us. No, we do it out of a love relationship with God because it's a life principle. Look at Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And notice it uses the word honor, meaning this is a heart issue. What we give to the Lord is not a financial transaction. It's an act of worship. It is an act of worship. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So that's what Cain did wrong. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Exodus 23, 19. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Again, you bring it to God's house. Now let's look at the heart of Abel. Let's contrast this with the heart of Abel. And again, how do we know the heart of Abel? Because the Bible has other scriptures about Abel. Hebrews 11, verse 4. And remember, the only thing we really know about Abel in the Bible is that he brought his first to God. There's no other stories about Abel. The only thing we know is Abel tithe. That's all the Bible teaches us about Abel is he tithe. He brought his firstborn to God. Now look at this in Hebrews 11. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Remember, it's an act of faith. It's a test. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Again, it takes faith to give God the first 10%. It doesn't take faith to pay all your bills and then give God whatever you have left. God's saying, if you'll recognize me with the first, I will provide and I will protect. I mean, think about it. Again, it wouldn't have taken any faith for the widow to say, let me feed my son first, and then if I have anything left, I'll take care of you. There's no faith in that. Put God's kingdom first and see what's happened. Look what happened when the children of Israel began to take over the promised land. Look at Joshua chapter 6. They go into Jericho, the very first city in the promised land. And in verse 19, it says, everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. Notice here, it doesn't say 10%. It says 100%. It says, give me everything. Give it all to me. Now, why did God ask for all of it from Jericho? It's very simple. Jericho is the first city. God said, give me the first. Give me the first. If you'll give me the first, then I will provide and I will protect as you take the rest of the promised land. What did God tell Abraham? God said, I want the firstborn son of promise. Genesis 22, verse 10. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Verse 13, then. Then meaning what? after Abraham was willing to put God first. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its thorns in a thicket. So he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use the name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Remember, tithing brings provision and protection. God provided the ram, but not only was there provision in this story, there was protection. He protected Isaac. God protected Isaac. I don't know how to make this more clear. Jesus even said in Matthew 6, seek first God's kingdom, and everything else will be added. And yet Cain refused to put God first. Cain did what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it, when he wanted to do it. And God says, I don't accept that. And Cain got offended. But let me give you a thought. Yes, Cain got offended. But have you ever thought about this? God was offended too. God was offended. God was offended that Cain wasn't bringing him the best. God was offended that Cain wasn't putting him first. And have you ever thought, why did it offend God? Well, let me explain something. Everything in the Old Testament is symbolic of something in the New Testament. When the children of Israel went through the Red Sea in the Old Testament, that is symbolic of water baptism in the New Testament. When you celebrated the Passover and you sacrificed the lamb in the Old Testament, that is symbolic of the communion ceremony in the New Testament. Everything in the Old Testament is symbolic of something in the New Testament. Well, all throughout the Old Testament, the Bible teaches that the firstborn and the first fruits represent the tithe. So what does the firstborn and the first fruits represent in the New Testament? Very easy. Jesus Christ. That's why it offended God. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Abel brought his first to God, and God blessed it, and God accepted it. Cain brought whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and God said, I don't accept that. God was saying, Cain, you don't understand. There's going to come a day when I'm going to give my very best for this world. There's going to come a day where I'm going to give my firstborn, my first fruits. Let me paraphrase the most famous verse in the Bible in relation to this. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only firstborn, first fruits, highest and best gift for the world. So if God would give us his absolute best, why would we not want to give him our best? Why would we not want to put him first in our life? Not out of fear, not out of legalism, but out of love, out of honor. Because he gave me his best, I want to honor him with the very best in my life. Why else would God ask for 10%? He didn't need it. I mean, I could understand if this wasn't in the Bible and pastors made it up. I could understand that. But why did God put this in the Bible? I mean, he doesn't need it. The very same way God did not need this widow to feed Elijah, God was feeding him just fine. See, God was trying to provide for her. He wasn't trying to provide for him. He was trying to provide for her. And some of you got to let go of that mental block. You think God brought the church into your life for you to provide for the church. No, God brought the church into your life because God wants to provide for you. And I wish you could see my heart in this. Because I know it's tough. I know some of you have seen some really ugly stuff on television, and you've got some ideas about preachers and money, and you're struggling right now because you're trying to wrestle through what's really biblical and what's just this guy. I get that. I wish you could see my heart today. I believe this to the core. Not because our church is in need. We're healthy. We're ahead in our budget this year. We're behind in our expenses. This has nothing to do with our church being in need. I'm trying to do this for your sake. God will provide for his church the same way he provided for Elijah. with or without you, God will provide for his church. What this is about is God wanting to do something in your life. God saying, if you'll understand this principle of first and put me first in your life, a principle all throughout Scripture, watch what I'll do. And so my challenge to you today is take this home and wrestle with it. Go talk to the Holy Spirit about this. I mean, at least be brave enough to go alone, go get alone with the Holy Spirit and ask him about this. And what applies to you and what God wants to speak to you. Because he gave you his best. He gave you his absolute, absolute best. Would you close your eyes for a moment? As we leave today, some of you need to take the first step. And the first step is saying yes to the gift God gave, his son, Jesus Christ. And what you need to understand today is God's building a family. God doesn't want to be your religion. He wants to be your dad. And God this morning is inviting you to be a part of his family. And all you have to do is accept the invitation. You don't have to give anything, do anything, go anywhere, be anything. This is an absolute free gift of God's grace. All we do is say yes. That's all we do is just say yes. And so if you've never accepted God's invitation to be a part of his family, maybe you're just checking out Christianity today and just kind of seeing this whole thing, you need to know God loves you so much that he gave his best for you. So that you didn't have to do anything to receive salvation. You just had to say yes. And maybe some of you today need to come back home. And you know who you are. You know if you're away. You know if you're in the category that needs to come back home today. And God is just tugging at you this morning saying, would you please come back home? Would you please come back home? Would you please come back home? So if you're in either situation, I'm going to say a very simple prayer and I'm going to invite you to join me. You don't need to stand up. You don't need to say anything out loud. I don't want to single you out or embarrass you in any way. But if you need to accept God's invitation to really be a part of his family today, with every eye closed out of respect, would you just slip up your hand and say, I'd like to pray with you this morning. Just slip up your hand so I know who's going to pray with me. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. The prayer is simple. God's asking you a question right now. Will you be a part of my family? And what I want you to do in your heart, would you just say to God, yes, I accept your invitation. The second part of this prayer is you need to ask God a question and God's going to say yes. I'll tell you that up front. But the question you need to ask God is, will you forgive me? All of us have made mistakes. All of us have fallen short in different areas of our life, and we all need the forgiveness of God. Would you say to God right now, will you forgive me? And then the last part of that prayer is just say thank you. Would you say, God, thank you for giving me your best. Thank you for not withholding anything, but you've been paying the absolute greatest price anybody could ever pay for me. Thank you for doing that for me, God. Would you just say thank you this morning? You can look up here for a moment. If you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to do one more thing. On your connection card, there's two boxes. One says I'm committing my life to Christ. One says I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. If you said yes or came back home, would you check one of those boxes? Drop it off at a tithe and offering box. We just want to support you. We want to give you some resources and pray with you and just really give you the family you need to walk out that decision. We also have these books outside. It says, now what? That's a great question. You know, I joined God's family. I said yes to his invitation. Now what? Pick up this book and it'll help you answer the next step questions of what God wants to do next in your life. We have Bibles outside. If you don't have a hard copy of the Bible, we would be so honored today to be able to give you a Bible. This book will change your life. So if you don't have a hard copy of the Bible, take one, take as many as you need. Lastly, if you want to go deeper into this series, this is the easiest book to read, The Blessed Life. They're available in the back. You can take as many of them as you want. They're free of charge. I have gotten so many emails over the last couple weeks from you, from so many people in our church saying this book has just really made such a positive impact in their life and helping them understand things that they've wrestled with for a long, long time. So I can't encourage you, if you don't have a copy of this book, please pick it up today. It's free. They're in the back. Take as many as you need. It will bless you. Stand with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We know that at times it's tough and sometimes it cuts us, God, to the core. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable, Lord. But we want to be a people that will diligently seek your word. As the Bereans, they search the scriptures, God. We want to be like the Bereans, and we want to search scripture for these truths and these principles, God. And let us be a people that will put you first in every area of our life. Every area of our life, God. Our family, our marriages, our finances, God. Let us just put you first in every area of our life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.